from Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome once again to the Land Grant Brewing Company Beers with the Brewers here in the Kickstarter room. I'm Mark Richards, and I've got Adam Benner with me today.
Hey, guys.
We're going to run down current events, and we're just going to step out of the way as we let our brewers, Justin, Dan, and Patrick, tell you all about Batch 300. We're going to do a throwback Thursday We're releasing Batch 300 just this last week.
Re-release the beer, re-release the podcast.
That's it.
In case you missed it the first time around.
This beer is juicy, tropical, hop flavor, dry clean finish, and grapefruit aroma.
Not dry clean, but dry, comma clean. Not like a, you know, you're taking your suit in before a wedding or something like that.
I don't even think you can dry clean anything.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense to me either.
That's like getting a little dirt on your shirt and just blowing on it. That is,
you know,
make
you got to be careful when you take your dry cleaning in, because you never know if the dry cleaner is going to be wearing your clothes out. Like if you got a really nice, you know, jacket or like a fur coat, mink coat or something like that.
I heard that happen before. You know, Jerry Seinfeld got married in an episode just strictly on the premise of dry cleaning.
So, well, I think you said that the return of this beer, which kept the name Batch 300 because we loved the beer so much that we didn't want to throw people off and rename it. So it's had a few different reintroductions. I don't know how many times we've actually brewed this now. 4 or 5 times, probably. We did a podcast, back in, March when we were first doing Beers with the Brewers publicly.
Yeah.
So they did a great job with it then, just like they brewed it, but if you listen to the events, you'd be like, well, you know, the beer garden's not open yet, or what's happening?
That's so right. That's
we
right.
wanted to make sure you had that update, and we'll go through. This happened last night, given that this is a throwback Thursday episode, but the first Wednesday series in our Fear Garden movie series that we announced yesterday, so you had a lot of time to hear about it. If you missed out, we played Scream last night. We're going to continue on with the Fear Garden series on Wednesday, October 17th, and we're going to be playing Shaun of the Dead, which if you've never seen Shaun of the Dead, you should probably go see it.
That's a favorite of mine. I love that freaking movie.
Or you should come out on next Wednesday and watch it with all of us, because it's hilarious. It's a great take on the old zombie flick, but very, very unique style.
Well, let me check my calendar. Yep, I can make it.
Yeah, Mark's going to be here. And then we're finishing it out with Get Out, so fantastic flick.
I still haven't seen this one
exactly
yet.
And that's your, I mean, this is your opportunity, Mark. Won an Oscar for Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Debut directing and won, but a psychological thriller comedy, maybe I'd call it.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Key and Peele, but I just hadn't seen this one. I miss a lot of movies. I don't get to the movies much. So,
as someone who doesn't like the genre of horror, which my wife Lauren loves the genre of horror, that was a movie that I could go to. As long as you throw comedy into it, you can distract me long enough during those times that I'm okay with it.
I feel the same way about Shaun of the Dead. It's like, it just breaks it up. It lightens it. I'll tell you another great one, hopefully next year, Zombieland. That's another one that just makes it fun.
And one I was advocating for is Dalen Tucker versus Evil. It's one of those films you're like, yeah, this looks like a really bad B movie. Watch that movie. It's hilarious.
But what's it called again?
Dalen Tucker versus Evil. Or Tucker and Dale. I don't know the order, but highly recommend it. It's streaming somewhere. Laura and I watched it last night. The other one, I wish I would have suggested that. What We Do in the Shadows is another great comedy around the it's a mockumentary style by the guys from Flight of the Conchords.
These are deep cuts.
So it is a New Zealand. So you got Jermaine And you also have Murray from Flight of the Conchords. So it's an all New Zealand cast, but it is a mockumentary based on following vampires in modern day New Zealand. It is. If you haven't seen What We Do in the Shadows, I think it's streaming on Netflix or Amazon Prime right now. One of the funniest movies I've seen in a while. They're actually coming out with, they had it in New Zealand, a spin-off series that's going to be launching in the U.S., I think on like FX or something like that. So
sweet.
You didn't know you were going to get your movie input, but yeah, watch What We Do in the Shadows. That would be, that's an awesome movie. But anyway, so Fear Garden series, next week Shaun of the Dead, then Get Out, and then finally on 1027, we're partnering with BarkBox to do an event for your furry friends, the dogs of the world, and the humans. So we'll be doing a party in the beer garden, a costume party, dress up your dog, and dress up yourself. We'll be doing contests and party and prizes.
You could dress like Gus, and Gus could dress like you.
He could.
Put a Land Grant shirt on him and a ball cap.
So shout out to Gus Benner, my dog. It's his birthday today, 8 years old.
Happy
so,
birthday, Gus.
Yeah, Gus has been a big part. If you've ever seen the Kickstarter video, he shows up. He's also on the website. He was our original
That was
mascot.
The OG brewery dog right
OG
there.
OG brewery
back
dog.
In the good old days.
Yeah. Coming up this weekend here down here in Franklinton on October 13th, we have the Festival for Good. So this festival has been going on a couple years here in Columbus. It was at the North Market last year, so first time it's going to be down in Franklinton. Some of the folks that put on Independence Day are part of this. So it's the largest celebration of social enterprise in Central Ohio, and it's going to go from noon to 9 p.m. and going on between us and BrewDog. So little street fair going on just outside our front door.
Yeah, I think I'll stop down immediately following the football game.
We actually brewed a beer with BrewDog to celebrate that, and another New England style pale ale IPA. It's called Land Dog, and then BrewDog's brewing their version of it called Dogland. So you get to sample that. I've not tried that yet. I was actually here when Dan was brewing it.
I haven't either.
And I know Dan Schaefer, one of our brewers, was super, super excited about the hop combination that he used.
Ordinarily, if Dan is super excited about the hop combination he's going to use, I'm super excited about drinking that beer.
Yeah. It's something to look out for. Coming up next Thursday, we have the second last Beer Garden Music Series of the year with WS Collective. The last one's going to be Sunday, the 21st, with the Devil Doves. But immediately after that, for you Crew fans out there, it's Save the Crew. It's an unfortunate organization that has to be there, but these guys have done an amazing job to help support our local Yellow Soccer Club. And it's Save the Crew's one-year anniversary. They're going to be out here. We are working with someone to actually show the game. The game's at 3 p.m., the Crew's last away game of the year. We're going to be showing it in the beer garden. So come on out for that. That's going to be a lot of fun with our friends at Save the Crew. What they've done to really prevent the Crew from actually easily moving. They're still putting up the fight. We're still all holding out hope, doing what we can as well. So come on out for that. It's going to be a blast. Glory will be flowing.
Glory will be flowing. We've really phased down production as the end of the season approaches, so maybe your last shot to get
try to
glory.
Kill those kegs. Yeah, we'll try to kill those kegs.
To kill the keg party.
But if you come on by the day before the last Crew away game, Ohio State's playing Purdue in West Lafayette, and they just announced it's a night game. So if you missed the TCU game, if you missed the anniversary party with the Penn State game, or you were at one of the two or both, you better be down here for it, because it's the best place to watch an away game here.
I'm not going to disagree with that, man. That Penn State away game blew my mind. The turnout that we had here in the beer garden, coupled with just what a fight that game was, Jesus Christ. We'll be watching that for years.
You've said it. You could hear a pin drop in the beer garden, and then it sounded like you were sitting there in South Stands.
Oh, definitely. It was insane. What an amazing game.
So that's the events. That's a good rundown of what's going on here. So if you're still with us, I think Mark and I have an updated crushability since we weren't on the last episode. What's your crushability on this beer, Mark?
you know, I'm going to go with the responsible one. I definitely could drink two or three of these because it is it's deceptively crushable. And I think the Brewers Talk on Net in this throwback episode, I've learned from my mistakes, and I know don't have two of these back-to-back. They go down too easy.
They go down
what
too easy.
What do you think, Adam?
Oh, I mean, I'm drinking a taster right now just so I can I can continue on with the rest of the night for this Fear Garden movie, but it's I'd say a one. Yeah, I'd say one. I love it. You could have two. You're not going to be responsible having two.
Have one, enjoy it, and switch to a greenie.
Yeah, switch to a greenie after that. So get to that 5 to 6 crushability beer. So,
and if you do crush more than one, please make sure you've got secured transportation.
Yeah. Get yourself a designated driver, Uber or Lyft home. Don't bird. Don't scooter home. Not a good idea.
No scootering. Let's turn it over to the Brewers now, Adam. Enough of our nonsense.
Yeah. Let the pros talk now.
Yep.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Beers with the Brewers. I am your MC for today, Justin. I am here along with lead brewer Dan.
And, hey, guys.
And brewer Patrick.
Hello, everyone.
So, yeah, we're talking about our Imperial IPA today, Batch 300. How exciting is that, Dan?
It's super exciting. I'm super excited to be joined by two such polished radio hosts as yourself.
We totally know what we're doing, and we do it all the time.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're podcast regulars at this point,
I believe. Oh, no, Pat. Yeah, we are, actually. All three of us have been on numerous podcasts here in the past couple of months. That's an exciting thing. It doesn't show so far.
No.
At all.
That's kind of, we're raw.
Well, yeah. We're raw, and we have also been drinking... What is this beer? Batch 300 Imperial IPA from Land Grant Brewing Company.
Speaking of double IPAs, the BJCP says that they are 7.5% to 10% ABV, 60 to 120 IBUs, boozy and bitter. So on the aroma flavor front, usually features massive American or New World hop flavor / aroma. So citrus, tropical, stone fruit, and all that delicious, etc. May show resinous or grassy character from a large dry hop. Low but clean maltiness. Balance, obviously, it is a showcase for hops with very little or no yeast character. May be warming from alcohol, but should not be burning. You know, that nice Windex finish. And a nice clean dry finish on it. In terms of a spectrum, it is hoppier and boozier and drier than a standard IPA. But you know, similar in ABV to a barley wine, but nowhere near as malty, of course. Seasonality, you can find year-round. And on the food front, it's a big beer. You want to pair it with foods that are similarly big and bold. So does really well with charcuterie, cured grilled meats, barbecue, funky cheeses. I've never personally tried that, but
it seems like it would be a weird pairing, but if recommended, I would give it a try.
There you go. Commercially, big hitters Avery Maharaja, Fatheads, Hop Juju, Russian River, Pliny the Elder, Three Floyds, Dreadnought, Strone, Ruination. So a lot of people think that this sort of started, it did start with Vinny Chilurzo of now of Russian River, and then of Blind Pig Brewing. But the first double IPA was not Blind Pig IPA, but it was, what was that called? It was their anniversary ale. In 1994, they brewed is around 6.5-7% ABV, 100 IBUs double IPA. And he was the first to use the term double IPA. But it was aged on oak chips for 9 months, so it's obviously, you know, not exactly what we consider a double IPA today. But he moved on and eventually bought Russian River Brewing Company. Say that three times fast. And eventually those series of double IPAs that they would brew every year at Blind Pig for their anniversary manifested itself as Pliny the Elder in 2000. And that caught on, became a big hit on the West Coast. Lots of beer lovers pilgrimaged out there to try it. I know my brother did. Yep. Brought me back a few. Very welcome. Shortly thereafter, people like Stone started doing Ruination. Dogfish had 120-minute IPA coming out. And everyone is trying to do more and more hops and, unfortunately, more and more bitter. But as we've mentioned before with the Stiff Arm podcast, it's definitely started to come back the other way. But I do not remember this, but in researching this, apparently at the time, Garrett Oliver of Brooklyn Brewery, if you don't know, suggested that double or imperial IPAs be referred to as San Diego Pale Ales, since double doesn't really mean anything in terms of they're not really using twice as much malt or twice as much hops. And imperial referred to Russian imperial stouts brewed for the Russian imperial court. And again, that has nothing to do with IPA. People are like, that's cute, Oliver. Shut up. So locally, you can find CBC, Bodie, and Creeper. Hoofhearted does many, many double IPAs. Seventh Son Proliferous. Wolf's Ridge, Howling Moon, and North Dust. North High, Stardust to Stardust.
Pretty much everyone is brewing, much like an IPA, everyone has a rendition of an Imperial IPA anymore, which is a welcome thing for me, at least. I think for a lot of craft beer fans around the country.
Yeah. And as brewers, it's not like we're ever going to say, oh, no, that's too much hops. Stop
right.
it.
Right.
No, it's, yeah. So that brings us around to batch 300. 8.1% ABV, 69 IBUs. Features Magnum, Motueka, Citra, and Mosaic hops. Bohemian four malted pilsner. We'll explain shortly what that means. And a bit of dextrose to dry it out. So what do you kids get off of this?
Very tropical, citrusy.
I will say it is. It's pretty resiny up front. I sort of equate it to drinking a sour beer or a funky beer. It's like the first thing, first couple sips, all you taste is sour or funk.
Right.
And then after your palate adjusts to it, you get all the little layers underneath. And I think that's certainly the case with this.
Light-bodied for a double IPA.
We kind of talked about it earlier today, but it is a pretty easy-drinking double IPA, which is a scary thing, that you can probably have two of them and not even realize it until you start getting rosy cheeks. And then, and then it just hits you, and you're like, oh, crap, I've had 2 8% beers.
Would you say it's dangerously crushable?
I definitely think that would be a good descriptor for batch 300.
Look at you, you old pro.
Have you listened to the podcast before?
I've had more than one of these in a sitting.
Yeah, actually, I had two of them last night, and it was great. Nice. But yeah, a scale of 1 to 5. What are we talking about for crushability's sake?
Well, I don't want to say one. And no. I don't do halves, so I'm gonna say 2.
Okay, I feel like that's definitely going on the easy end of things. I want it to be around 3, but I am gonna do a half. I'm probably gonna do 2.5 mm-hmm. crushability. Patrick,
I'd put it around the same. Like I said, dangerously crushable.
Dangerously.
I think we're good.
You gotta be careful.
Thank you, though. I appreciate that.
But no, I think one of the big things with batch 300 that a lot of people have noticed is an almost like sweet onion like aroma to it, which is kind of interesting in my opinion for this beer. You do get a lot of that tropical flavor from it, but it does come with a little bit of I don't know how to really best describe it. It's not a caramelized onion kind of thing, but it's like a really fresh, bright green onion, but very, very sweet.
Yeah, it's grassy, but not exactly that either.
Right. And it's not fresh cut grass. It's not a red onion. It's somewhere that falls in between those two things.
And I think a lot of that comes from that Motueka hop that we had not used prior to this. And we're sort of surprised when we got that, but not unpleasantly so. So how would we sum that up with 4 words, kids?
I'm going to go ahead and start and say that it's juicy and tropical. Maybe not as juicy as, say, a New England IPA, but it is right up there with it, close to it.
How Next. About dry and clean?
How fantastic, Dan. And you, Patrick, what is another descriptor?
I will say grapefruit aroma.
Yeah, and then last but not least, it's an obvious one. There's a lot of hop flavor in this beer. I think it still is the most hops we have ever put in any beer here at Land Grant Brewing. So you're definitely going to get a lot of it. And the majority of it is right at the end of the boil within the last 5 minutes or so. We put I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but we do put a lot in the whirlpool as well.
3 pounds per barrel in the boil, 2.5 pounds per barrel dry hop.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a whole bunch.
A lot.
A whole bunch. Food pairings with this beer. Patrick, chili, what are we going with?
The aforementioned Texas chili. I think I think hoppy beers pair well with spicy foods, so I'm going to say a spicy chili. Hops do well to numb your tongue and your taste buds a little bit and do nicely with spicy foods.
The peanut gallery here wants me to ask you about whether or not there are any beans in said chili.
Well, that's a point of contention, I suppose.
I'm going to drop a big fat no on that one.
Texas chili doesn't have beans.
Bingo. No beans in Texas chili. There's no point of contention there, Patrick. It's no beans. No beans or it's not Texas chili.
All right, fair enough. Didn't realize you all felt so strongly about your Texas chili.
Whole bunch of Texas chili fans here at Land Grant Brewing Company. And then as far as a taco pairing, Dan, any suggestions?
Well, I said carne asada. I think I saw a suggestion online with mojo sauce, which is a grapefruit-based marinade slash sauce, which would go really well with the citrus elements of this. But also that would obviously be, it's very roasty and fatty, and this beer would be strong enough to cut through that.
Yep. I would definitely agree with that. And as far as a Ray's pairing goes, we're going to go with my personal favorite thing that they have would be their brisket, which is absolutely insane. And we would pair that with their sweet barbecue sauce. Much like the asada, that roastiness, fattiness of the meat is just going to be paired really well with the bitterness of Batch 300. It's going to cut through that, cut through the fattiness a little bit and will make for a delicious pairing, which is actually why I am excited about this beer, is being able to drink it with brisket from Ray's. Why are you guys so excited about Batch 300?
I think half the brewery runs to the tap every time we put this on and it comes out. I mean, it was meant to be a one-time thing. So I wasn't around for Batch 200, but I think the plan was that we were going to do a big stout for 200,
yep,
big IPA for 300, then alternated. Unfortunately, 400 kind of passed us by.
That kind of happens when you get a little busy. You kind of forget which batch you're on, and then you realize after the fact, and you're like, oh, we're on Batch 423. Dang it, we forgot about Batch 400.
I think it was around 390. You're like, hey, we going to do anything for 400? And we're just like, uh-uh.
We don't have time for that.
No. Hopefully Batch 500. We just sort of threw the thing together with about a week out. Basically said, hey, what cool ingredients have we not used yet? So, I already mentioned the Motueka, and I think, Justin, you suggested the Bo Pills.
Yep. Yeah, that was a... We are hurrying last minute to figure out what ingredients to throw in this beer and trying to figure out how things would pair. And picking something special that we had never used before, like both the floor-malted Bohemian Pilsner and the Motueka hops. And turns out they combined to make a incredibly delicious Imperial IPA.
Yes, I think you don't really notice it at first, but the malt... That Bo Pills is amazing, particularly when we're milling in and mashing in. It has this amazing bready, almost with like a little sunflower type seed type character that comes through. It's really a beautiful thing. But they, if people out there don't know what that is, they actually turn it by hand instead of with a machine, old school style. So it's very labor intensive. It's the reason they don't do it anymore because obviously it's not as efficient, but you get a lot more rich, in-depth malt flavors that you wouldn't get with a machine-turned product. Well, that's what I think, anyway.
I think we all agree with you.
Bold stand, sir.
Thank
Bold
you so stand. Much. I didn't want to argue with you on a podcast. We'll save that for later, Dan.
This was meant to be a one-off shot, but it turned out really well. And so we started doing it once a quarter, which you can find both on draft and in cans, out and about, and in the tap room.
Well, I don't know, gentlemen. I think it's been fun today.
Wrap it up.
I feel like for a first-time MC, I did a mediocre job, but we'll...
Don't sell yourself short.
No, thank you very much.
I am in awe of your professionalism, sir.
Thank you so much.
Nick, what are your thoughts?
I enjoy the beer very much.
So yeah, thanks everyone for joining us here on the Land-Grant University's Beer with the Brewers podcast. I have been Justin, your MC. I would like to thank Dan and Patrick for joining
us. I have been Dan.
Patrick, and I have been Patrick.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure being here.
All right, so thanks again for joining us on Beers with the Brewers. I'm Mark Richards.
Adam Benner.
Signing off. Everybody, come down and enjoy one with us in a tap room.
Next week, tune in. We're going to do an episode just on hops. We're celebrating the hop harvest going on here in the Pacific Northwest, around the world. We're going to talk about hops. We did a Land-Grant University Hops 101, so if you weren't able to attend that, you'll be able to learn a little bit more about hops, so tune in for that one.
Tune in. We've got a good question for next week. We're going to save two so we can get multiple opinions, and we're going to tune out and leave you with that mystery. Tip your bartenders.
Yeah, see you guys. Cheers.
Have another Bat 300. That's the way I feel.
Sorry. So we do a weekly podcast that comes out. It's called Beers with the Brewers. And so when we... Yeah, we record on Wednesdays and then it comes out Thursday morning. But we talk about the new beers coming out, talk about different things going on at the brewery and all that kind of stuff. So.
Are you one of the originators?
Yes. Yep. One of the owners, yeah. I went to Ohio State. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so Land-Grant College.
That's what I heard. We got like 50 different Land-Grant universities in the 7 years. We have a big conference going on.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic.